Hey, it's Chris. Welcome back to the Between Dreams podcast. This show chats with people who are not only dreaming big dreams, but bringing those dreams and ideas to life. Today's guest is doing that at the extreme level, bringing massive companies, ideas, visions, and brand in general to life. From Focus Lab, it's Bill Kenny. Thanks so much for being here. And I'll hand it over to you to give your 1 minute elevator pitch of who you are and what exactly that means of like what you're doing with doing branding for big companies. What exactly is that?
Okay. Awesome. Happy to be here. So the one minute spiel for me is essentially, well, if I've only got 1 minute, I got to go quick here and we'll get into more detail. But so my name is Bill. I run a 30 person brand agency. To be more specific, it is B2B tech is basically our target demographic. And that's the 90%. That's the lion's share of the clients that we serve. A lot of that is SaaS, software as a service is kind of like continuing to eat the world. And we serve that market from a branding perspective. And we can talk more about what does branding actually mean to us. But yeah, that's what we do. So we've been in business for 13 years. Like I said, we're about 30 people. What does that actually look like? That is a team of designers, writers, strategists, project managers, and then all of the ops team and the auxiliary, but still very important roles that wrap that whole ecosystem. And that's us. So a creative company at its core. We even have a lot of the PMs and even our head of HR actually went to art school. So there's just this creative thread that's woven through the entire company. And it's ultimately what we do.
That's awesome. So before we jump into some of those, what is branding? What is a brand? 13 years, 30 people, working with some massive, some of the biggest companies that there are. A lot of people say, that's what I want to do. So let's bring it back just for a little bit. And this can be really quick, a little bit of context of, well, it's easy for somebody to say, I want to do that. How does that start? How does that, just for a little bit more of backstory from where you come from, I want to work with the biggest companies in the world with budgets that have more zeros than some people can comprehend. But I can't just call one of these companies and say, hey, can I can make you a new logo, or what people think what branding is. I could do when they see it, that's the epitome of, good brand and good design. It looks like I could do that. And then, but you can't. So where's that origin story for you so that we have a little bit of that backstory and context moving forward?
Yeah. So that story for me, I guess I would just, the short part of the story is it takes a very long time, right? There's no one step A to B gets you there. It's actually A to Z and all the steps in between gets you there. And I would also argue that you don't know ultimately what you want yet, because you might learn something at step G that puts you in a different Z at the end of that. So where I began was I was a pretty terrible student, and we don't need to get into all of that, but where the light switch flipped for me is when I became an art major in college. What I always knew to be true for myself is that I liked drawing very specifically. It was always something I did as a kid. I was always good at it as a kid, but it never really was a thing for me. I was I'm going to draw the rest of my life. I never had that clear vision of oh, I'm going to do this. It just was a hobby almost that I was naturally talented at and that I enjoyed. It wasn't until I was in college, I'm I should probably maybe lean into my strengths a bit more and make my life a little bit easier. Why don't I become an art major? At least I'll like that. And I'll get through this whole school paradigm with a smile on my face as opposed to just fighting it the whole way. So I did that. As soon as I changed to an art major in college, no BS, it was straight A's for me all the way through. It was 4.0s all the way through. And not only were my grades great, I legit loved the classes. I was now going to class early. I was building relationships with the professors. We had for my painting studios and art classes on that side, we had basically access to the building at any time. I'd be in there at night. I'd be in there till 1 a.m. painting and doing all this stuff. I loved it. It was awesome to be creative. So that's where my creativity journey really began. So call that step A, I guess, in the alphabet. But I still didn't know what I didn't know. What the hell is that going to turn into? I love art class, but what's the real manifestation of this thing? And I got a little taste of that towards my senior year for what it's worth, I was not at an art school. I went to University of Tampa. Thank God they had an art program. It was pretty decent as far as like the facilities. I took a graphic design class. And that's where a little bit of the bridge came for me. It's like, okay, I can be creative on a computer. And that blends the two worlds, which I enjoy, is kind of like technology and not just like painting all the time. You know, then you're starting to design things and graphic design one. And that's where you start, I start to get a taste for like, ooh, this is a thing. But what happens in the, I'm going very long now, but you can cut this up as you need to.
That's great.
There's a big gap between like when you graduate high school, college, knowing that that is interesting to you. And how do you like get into it? I didn't know the answer to that. So I actually went on to go to grad school, or at least attempted to. I got accepted into Savannah College of Art and Design, which is what led me to Savannah, where the business actually began. My financial aid fell through, and I decided I didn't want to go home to Massachusetts at that time. I was going to stay in Savannah and figure it out. What I ended up doing through a series of years and happenstance is meeting a lot of small business owners, call it mom and pops, that needed small design tasks. I'm like, hey, I could do that for you. I can make you new business cards. Hey, I know you. Your brochures, I can just make them better. Throw me $100 kind of thing. So like very kind of guerrilla style, if you will. And there were people around me that actually had a big influence on that, when those mom and pops would tell their other friends and business owners, hey, there's this guy. He'll do it on the cheap. He'll do it at night. This guy's great. And that's what really starts to form what becomes like a passion or like a core talent into like a business or like a what might be a profession. So I'll stop there, because then I can go into the like, well, Focus Lab and how do you get to 30 people? You know, it starts to become a long story, but that's kind of the origin. That's the seed.
Love it. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, there's probably a whole podcast about that that I think would actually be quite interesting, of like growing the business type of thing. But that's a whole nother
for another
whole
day,
whole nother yeah. conversation, part two. So, yeah, and that's super cool. And I think that's so important to realize, you know, as all of us look at these things. And maybe this is even relevant in what you're, you know, it's like in every creative project, no matter how big or small, we see this grand finished idea in our head, but it's going to take work to get there, especially in big projects for big companies.
That's right.
So let's get into that. And overall, what is this idea? So like, I've read a handful of your blog posts and things, and a lot of it really brings it back to these basics of, you know, what is a brand? You know, the classic thing, your logo is yes. not your brand. Your brand yeah. colors are not your brand. So it's always surprising to me that even no matter what level that is, how small of a, you know, a solo creator or a freelancer is, or a massive company, like they still need that reminder. Is that true in your experience, that it's kind of like straight across the board? They really, really need to remember that idea, that logo is not the brand. And the second part of that is, what is the brand?
Yeah. So some people need reminding, some don't. But I think more importantly, brand is just this kind of like big mysterious word. So like even different than like, well, what is it? Or, you know, it's not a logo. It's just trying to come up with like a unified story on what that thing is. And you're right. It's not a single thing. So we have to do less of that now, right? These bigger organizations, they understand, they have people in positions within the company, call it chief marketing officers, et cetera. They really understand what brand is and the power that it will bring to them. So we don't really have to like tell them that, but it's still important for us to put that message out into the world. So we do. So what is brand to us? The kind of like fluffy, fuzzy, unclear version of that is it's essentially like the emotion and how you feel around a certain product. And then everything that is in that product that gives you that emotion is just a small piece of that experience, right? So like, what is Disney's brand? It's as much Mickey Mouse as it is the smell of the popcorn when you walk into the park, right? It's like, it's the entire experience wrapped. It's how the cast members, if you will, treat you on Main Street when you're going down Main Street, as much as it is the ride, as much as it is the epic Star Wars movies that they now own. It's all of those things wrapped into one. it's certainly not the logo, but the whole trap with the logo and why that becomes is, or why that even happens, is because that's like the identifier. There has to be a single thing, though, that we can look at and say, that's the thing. And that's the Apple logo. That's the Nike check. That's all those, you know, Starbucks, Mermaid. Like, that starts to become the symbol that carries all of the other stuff that we forget about as the brand. So really, when you say what is brand, it's like, it's all the stuff, but the list is long and I could bore you to death with what those things are. And for every industry, it's different, right? I can't use the Disney Enter the Park popcorn story as brand essence for Nike, right? Like the way we experience their brand is going to be different. So yeah, brand is a lot of things, but the hill that we will die on is it is critically important, and you need to start there if you really want to unlock your true potential.
What is an example of something, and maybe it's not even a specific brand, you know, Nike or something, you know, the classics that are the go-to. What's something that you've seen recently that's been super inspiring, maybe from something that you've worked on or just in the world that you're like, wow, that's a little bit of a new approach? Is there something that you, I feel like most, I know for me, I always see things that I hate, and that's what inspires me to go do things differently. And I've been forcing myself to come up with like really seek things that I love and kind of flip that switch a little. Is there anything recently that you've seen that you're like, oh, that's interesting, or kind of like caught your eye?
Oh man, you put me on the spot here.
It's okay.
To remove the big dogs is understandable, but then you're like, okay, well, what is it? What is relatable and understandable to everybody? I think the things that stand out now are the companies that dare to be different, really. So if you want to talk about, you know, we don't have to, we can love them or hate them. It is subjective on many levels, but even if you think about like Oatly oat milk, right? Like trying to be different than the milk industry. And what does that look like? And they're kind of like classically strange Super Bowl ad that everybody was like, that was the dumbest thing ever. But like, does it work for them? And it is actually helping them build a brand. You don't have to love it. You can love it or hate it, but it is building towards a thing. They have a particular vibe that's a thing. Let's think of off the radar other brands. This is a big brand, but I don't think it's always talked about like Nike and Disney and all these other ones. If you think of like a Patagonia, The power of the Patagonia brand is not the materials they sell, but it is in the way they approach sustainability and planet in thinking about the materials they sell. So that's where that essence of a brand shines through. And that is the most important of a brand. Like the brand has to have a soul. It has to stand for something greater than itself. And the brands that do that are the ones that really pull ahead, right? They close on certain days because they say, we stand for this thing, or they choose different materials because they stand for that. And, you know, a lot of that is these days a little bit, it's easy to kind of grab onto that because there's a bit of a wave there to stand for something, but that is truly an important part of like brand DNA.
Cool. I love that. And is there anything in that front? I was thinking of as you were answering that question of, you know, we think of those broad to everyone, you know, a Target logo, a Nike logo. Now, as we enter a more niched down world where you can live in your own world with, you know, using a piece of software every day that no one has ever heard of. And it's a, you know, it's a major thing, especially in like marketing teams and stuff. Is there anything on that front of thinking about that? Of like, we traditionally think of building the brand to be like, oh, everyone needs to recognize this. And now that's more and more so. And as we go into the future, I certainly believe that there'll be, you know, you can have a very, very successful company with a very, you know, what seems like a very niche down thing, because there's still, you know, a world in there. Is there any thoughts on that for you of this, you know, the old school was like, oh, this has got to be for everyone. Now we have, it's okay, well, this is just for like a one very specific person.
Yeah, you're right. So brand is not about scale. It's more about clarity. So there can be tiny companies, like, I don't know, to everybody listening, like, what's your favorite app on your phone? It doesn't have to be the, you know, Gmail. And I suspect it's not. It's probably some kick-ass micro tool that you use for a very specific thing. And maybe they only have a couple thousand users, but those couple thousand users might live and die by that app and have trust and allegiance to that brand beyond the big fish that might be also kind of like apps on the phone. So yeah, it's less about the scale. And when I spoke to the clarity, like, people have allegiance to that app because it knows what the hell it does. It does it for a reason and it does it well, right? As opposed to just say like, well, I've got this other app and it does 98 things and it's kind of cool, but some of the features are broken. And I don't really know what the big mission of the company is, but maybe I don't care. It just gets lost in the weeds. It gets watered down. But when you've got that one thing and they're like, we are a to-do app and to-dos are the most important thing in your everyday life. And we're going to help you get through your everyday life in the best way possible. We know what we stand for. We do it really well. And then ultimately it has to resonate to some degree, right? Like, oh, and I also love the way they approach their messaging. It feels really authentic. It feels like a very approachable company. I love that they're super transparent about what they're building. And I love that they're transparent about when they fail. Then you start to get to those like moral alignments. So yeah, without rambling on forever.
Yeah, no, I love it. Is there anything in your work that you've done kind of like bigger scale projects that kind of really reshaped your day-to-day personal life thinking, whether it's for, you know, the brand that you're, you know, your company's brand or even your personal? It seems like a lot of your team is heavy on the personal brand by, you know, writing blog posts and appearing. And one thing, Partel, I'll give you a really good nod of, I love the blogs. Right there, you can listen to this blog as an audio podcast form. Speaking of like brand and making it this world of meeting the customers where they are and yes, showcasing that is so incredible. When I saw you doing that, I was like, this is so good. And it's not, you know, it doesn't need to be this big profound idea. It's like, oh, we wrote a blog post. What if we read it and let people listen to it? You know, and I think that's where it kind of ties it all in of like, it doesn't need to be this big grand, you know, groundbreaking idea. It needs to address the problem at hand.
Exactly right.
Present something that helps the customer. So thinking on that, I think I'll go back to that original question. Any of those ideas that you've worked on huge project that you're like, wow, this is like a scale that's uncomprehendable almost to one person. But the takeaway, you know, the lesson I learned on the other side of this is really helpful for either like a smaller company like you're running or even a company of, you know, one as a solo creator or personal brand.
The part
dropping,
that
client names.
It won't matter in the example, because what I'm going to say is, again, scale doesn't matter because the process and the thinking is the same. Doesn't matter if the company is Google or a three-person team building whatever they're building. You have to start at step one anyways. And this is a little bit of a broad stroke, but it is true. You have to start at step one, which is, what are we doing and why are we doing it? If you don't have clarity there, the small team fails and the big team fails. So again, like, scale doesn't matter there. It's the same exact first step. Once you gain that clarity, you can start to then tell the story and build the experience. This is where the scale will start to matter, because then the experience and the story that you need to build is probably bigger and might even have parent and child tracks and other tools and things at the larger scale. But it's still the same outputs. It's just how many of the outputs. So the smaller company is still trying to tell their story articulately, clearly, within purpose, within like a focal range of what matters to them. So that is the takeaway. I think when you, from the other side, you just assume, oh, well, if we were thinking about brand, like, it would be so easy, we're small, like, no big deal. They must be thinking about much grander things up there. It's like, no, they're actually starting with the same thing. It's no different than two people going to the gym and just saying like, I need to start getting healthy. Like, step one is getting on the damn treadmill.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you are in the stage.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. I love that taking the grandness and making it human and personal. And it's a good takeaway in everything that we're doing, especially for creative people that are listening of, you know, we're all operating under the same thing. It's the same thing as like, hey, how do we get our reputation or call our brand our reputation and our perception in the world? It's like, well, you got to get, you know, present something to the world, whether it's talking about it on video or podcasts and getting it out there.
Be clear.
And
yeah.
So we'll tie this all up. I think that's a good spot to kind of tie this up and keep this really tight and quick. And in that thing of, you know, there's that takeaway of we're all starting at, you know, whatever it is, start with that foundational building block and then build from it, which goes back to the beginning, which is what you did with the company, is starting doing business cards and then, you know, building it up, starting yeah. building a reputation of a personal brand or a huge brand is starting with one, you know, there's a first customer of every company, you know, there's a first client of every, you know, agency or whatever. It's probably going to be your friend or yourself. So what do you think, and this might just mirror what we just answered, but you can feel free to tie it up in a nice little bow for us to leave with. What's the one takeaway that you want people, maybe somebody from a marketing team of a big company that's thinking about a rebrand or something like that in that your world, or maybe more relevant to most of the listeners on this show is same thing. Like how about a, you know, a three-person team that's building their own agency or even a solo entrepreneur? What's that takeaway in a nice package for them to walk away from this from your perspective of being the one guy doing it to now leading a team of 30 people helping massive companies do it?
There's a couple takeaways that are always important to remember, which is, you know, it's going to be the cliche crap, but like it is the truth, which is you're not going to know everything in the beginning. So don't even try to fool yourself to like in the next 10 years, we're going to accomplish A, B, and C. Like you can dream and it's good to dream, but the execution level is going to be more short sighted, right? You're going to be thinking in those 1 to 2 year, what do I need to do now? And eventually you look back and you're like, wow, I've accomplished a lot. It's the same like when you hike the mountain. You know, like every step might suck and you think like, I can't go further, but then you finally turn around. And you're like, wow, I've gone a really long distance. It's quite the same in going from the solopreneur single person to like, oh, I'm going to have like, I don't know, I need to hire somebody to help me. What does that look like? And you go through that process and then you're like, oh, I know what that process feels like. Hey, we need to start this other thing because now we need project managers. I've never gone through that process. You kind of got to go step by step through that, and you will surprise yourself how much you can achieve in a seemingly organic state of that journey. But you also got to be patient because it does take a long time too. You hit these kind of natural ceilings where maybe you feel like the first couple of years went fast and you achieved a lot, and all of a sudden you're kind of like at a standstill and you seem to be stuck and you can't get momentum and you don't know what it is. And then for whatever reason, you break out of it. It might be you read something. It might be you just learned something. It might be a financial inflection you're going through. Then all of a sudden, you're kind of back riding up again. You're like, oh my God, we're conquering new things. This is so great. So you have to be patient to be able to go through those phases. I mean, there's a couple books that I would suggest to have some more tactical kind of like takeaways here for the people that are readers. We talked a lot about understanding your purpose. And there's a great book. It's kind of business oriented, but it's called Starting with Why by Simon Sinek. That's a great book. And it really speaks to how a business like an Apple doesn't speak about its what, which is computers. It tries to focus more on its why, you know, making people's lives easier and those types of things. So that's a good book to think about for anybody at any scale, because that's the story that permeates and actually moves the needle. Not our computers faster by 28 megabits. Like nobody gives a shit about that, right? Like nobody cares. You got to give them something to sink their teeth into. And that is the why is actually what you sink your teeth into. Another book that I'm actually reading right now. So, you know, you're a little hesitant to suggest a book that you're halfway through because it might not finish well. But I'm reading a book called How to Fly a Horse. And it's very much in line with this idea of like the life of a creative And it draws all these real world experiences of like, how did we even get to flying a plane? It didn't happen overnight. There wasn't an epiphany and a light bulb that happened and all of a sudden, you know, Wright brothers were flying. It was literally like years of micro steps that got there. And that kind of follows the same thinking as this. When you turn around, you see how far you've come. So yeah. I'm reading that and I'm actually enjoying that because I'm like, yes, I agree with all of this. This is what it's like. And there was one more. Well, I can't help but be inspired by these types of books. So I'll throw this out there. I'm a little bit hesitant. It might not be everybody's cup of tea, but back to the Nike example, the autobiography, The Shoe Dog, which is the story of the founder of Nike. For me, it's always nice to read those stories because you realize the humble beginnings of generally just every single business owner, founder, no matter how big their company is, right? Like Nike is ginormous. And you're reading about this dude who was a track coach that put rubber into a waffle iron because he thought that would make a better grip on the bottom of a shoe, right? I think for me as a creative and a not so scholastically talented and kind of like trying to find my way through life person, I'm like, oh, everybody just kind of like goes through life these ways, even if they end up being super successful, right? Like it's not like he went to Harvard and he was just destined to be successful in that way. And I think we all need some of that grounding. So that type of content resonates with me.
Nice. Love that. That's some good stuff. I'm going to dig into some of those myself. So thanks for sharing those. And thanks for sharing some of that thought. I think there's certainly a version of a round two. We'll hear what people are most resonates. But I think there's like a lot in there that's going to be pretty helpful and thought-provoking at the very least. So I would suggest, I'll add to your recommended reading and suggest people at whatever level they are is to head over to your company's blog and start reading those or listening to them on the podcast. And so there's some really good stuff that you guys are sharing. And I personally really appreciate the kind of the openness and the look into it. You know, you published the debrief of, I was browsing through, kind of skipping through the Marketo debrief. And I was like, man, that's an incredible insight and value for so many different levels, you know, from potential clients for you to see like what that process was like. And also certainly like a profound way to open the curtain to see what you're actually doing rather than hiding behind, oh, we do magic here and it's really expensive. So, you know, like, yes. Okay, that's yes. Great. But it's actually more valuable if we see the process and see how you
exactly
do it.
Exactly right. Yeah, it's not about magic. It's not about being all powerful and hiding things. It's trying, quite honestly, it's trying to remove the mystery because coming back to that, like, what is brand?
Yeah.
Let's remove as much mystery as we can so people can see what it really is, what effect it truly has. That obviously makes our world better. So we pull back the curtain on anything we can.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing. Is there anything else that you want to send people to check out like what you're personally doing or what Focus is doing?
No, I mean, so, on a lot of the social channels, just if you just search Focus Lab, you'll find a lot of that content, which is very brand specific. You can find me on anything at Bill S. Kenny, that's K-E-N-N-E-Y. This will be the first time I say this publicly, but we're going to author a book this year, which is going to be really fun. I'm super excited about that. It'll be like about a 12-month exercise. And we will be legitimately detailing every step of the brand journey from our experience, what it is, why it matters, how we do it, the effect that it has, and really putting that out into the world.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, everyone can go rewind and jot down all of those recommendations, and then we'll be on the lookout for when's the book anticipated this year coming out?
No, that'll be like a 2023 thing. So like I said, this is going to be a long process.
No, and we're still...
Nobody even has heard that news yet besides the internal team. So we got a while to go, but
nice.
That'll be another example of us being fully transparent and revealing literally everything.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thanks so much for sharing everything, and we'll get you back on for round two at some point. And awesome. Feel free, people who are listening, hit either of us up on social media if you have additional questions or anything here sparked any specific ideas or something. I know for me personally, that's always great to hear. So thanks everyone for listening. Bill, thanks for joining.
Thank you.
We're out.